Hello, welcome to another Privacy Labs podcast. My name is Paul Starrett, the founder. Remember, Privacy Labs is one word. And I am doubly honored to have Germond Hagen again here for us to share his thoughts on a bit of a bigger topic. Maybe we'll only have time to cover it superficially. I just finished a podcast with Jody Daniels, where we also took sort of a broader, a more holistic view of compliance and privacy and such. In these upcoming podcasts are going to be more broadly painted. And I know that Germond, his experience includes that very sort of view of an enterprise. You would probably notice that we have had a prior podcast with Germond, I believe about a month ago, where we went pretty much under the hood with regarding audit specifically, and very much around artificial intelligence. Today, we're going to get into a topic of GRC, governance, risk, and compliance. And I have to confess, I have been in and around that topic, knowingly or otherwise. And it's sort of the full pullback view of virtually, I think, anything that a company or an enterprise would think about. But I'll be getting into that a little bit later. For now, I want to give Germond an opportunity to reintroduce himself. And so Germond, tell us about yourself and 2fifthconsulting.com and so forth.
Will do. So Germond Hagen, owner of 2fifth Consulting. Thanks for having me back. More than happy to sit and talk a little bit about GRC and its implementation. What does that mean for organizations of all sizes, I guess? Just by way of background, I've been involved deeply in two enterprise scale implementations of GRC. I won't name the names. There's not that many big ones out there. But fairly familiar with what it takes to get a GRC package in the door of an institution, understanding the politics of the institution, understanding the breadth of the product, in addition to the powerful capabilities that they can bring, because most GRC packages store a wealth of enterprise information, and the possibilities are, frankly, in my view, are pretty much endless. That said, 2fifth Consulting, the company that I run now today, provides assurance, managed services, and resiliency advice to organizations, and we could actually help with the implementation of a GRC package and getting the most out of it.
Interesting. And before we came on here, I think most people would have some sense of this, that the words governance, risk, and compliance, really, to me, when you just think about the words themselves, are kind of ambiguous. And they almost seem to be a lot of overlap. Because if you have risk, you're going to want to have governance to protect, to accommodate the risk, which means compliance. So there's kind of this, I don't know, when I hear the letters GRC, I wonder why are they put there separately? And what in your mind? I know, as we said, everyone might give you a different answer, but in your mind, how would you end that ambiguous dilemma for us?
So it's interesting that you said that, and just having a couple more minutes to think about, what that means to me. So that's pretty much one of the first things that you have to conquer with the implementation of the GRC package.
I see.
Who's putting governance, who's running risk, and who has the compliance portion of the product, in addition to processes, because like you said, all of those functions provide some level of oversight. And when you think of what the banks call the three lines of defense, governance is generally your first line, then you have a risk organization, and then there's some compliance function who's looking at the regs, the rules and the regs, as we used to say, and then that third line of defense, which is audit, right? But
right. At
times you have organizations where compliance and risk overlap. There's generally a power struggle of some sort, and then it becomes, okay, well, who's on first? How far does risk go into governance, which is the first line of defense? How far does the governance sector bleed over into what is generally or typically risk area? And, you know, on top of that, how far does risk overreach the compliance boundaries, which generally always well-defined is what audit does, which is which can get tricky in some organizations, because sometimes audit wants to overstep and want to be risk and compliance and governance, right? So, you know, that is the first hurdle I would suggest any organization overcome right out the gate.
Interesting.
Who's on second? Who's on third?
I see. I'm almost afraid I asked, because it sounds like it can be a real bucket of worms. But hey, you know, that's why people like us are here to help make that checkers, not chess, right? To to make it a manageable process. Interesting. And would you say that GRC for most enterprises, that maybe even outside of financial services, which is, I know where most of your experience is, do you think that's a fair statement across the board for any vertical?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think there's, you know, space for GRC in any line of business, any vertical, if you're really serious about capturing your holistic risk for the enterprise, all right? And it's not just capturing the risk and issues across the board, but quantifying those issues and risks where you can make fairly high level decisions before something happens, to help you with investment, or, you know, just to understand where you are and displaying good management. Because I think any organization is going to have issues and risks that they take. You won't be in business unless you have some of those. But if you know what they are, you know where they are, and you're taking proactive decisioning and method and measures to overcome them, or at least mitigate them to a level that's not that's acceptable, then you're ahead of the game by far. And generally, that's what the auditors and the regulators want to see anyway. So I think any vertical, any line of business, definitely there's room for GRC.
Got it. That's good to know. So I think, again, in our last podcast, I remember us discussing the three lines of defense. I think in this one, I'd like to focus on the actual implementation before it gets to audit. Of course, that's a piece of it. But, and also, if possible, here to focus on the data and the technology, because there are so many things. There's training, there's staying up to date on what the laws are and what laws apply to your physical locations and your different, you know, different sectors within your business. But I think that the data is often really where the action is. And so with regard to helping people get their GRC package or their GRC implementation in place, how would you normally approach the data side of things? And the reason I say that in part is because you and I, our firms would work together, because we bring in things like, you know, data lineage and other holistic packages that we can use, like OneTrust or Central. And we have the, you know, some engineers, some data scientists. Of course, we work in artificial intelligence. How do you normally approach the data piece or the technology piece of GRC, let's just say before it gets to audit? I know they play a role, but how do you see that?
So I would say this about a GRC implementation. When you go into it, I think management and everybody on board needs to really understand what they want to get out of it, right? Because, you know, they, you know, garbage in, as they say, is you know, what is it? Garbage in is garbage out. You're going to get
right.
Garbage. Because GRC packages are so big, I think, well, at least the corporations that I've been involved in, they've taken approaches where it really wasn't a holistic GRC approach. We started off with, you know, compliance, which is basically risk and issues around compliance, rules and regulations, And then another instance, we began to grow and start to rope in SOX work, which is
Sarbanes-Oxley, SOX.
Exactly, IT critical controls, things like that. And then you start to quickly realize that you don't have the holistic picture, and you actually need the holistic picture, no matter how much you try to stratify your output, right? Because we started to learn that a lot of things and a lot of processes are commingled together. So once you try to stratify your output to be only compliance or only SOX or only security, you've left out a lot of the major processes in other areas across the organization. So if you really, really want to get the most out of the product, I think you really have to go after what the product was intended to do, which was holistically capture risk processes across the entire organization, which is the enablement of senior management to make those decisions. But with respect to data, all the underlying information that you're capturing in order to produce the output needs to be accurate as well, right? So you can't have, incomplete process documentation. You really can't have incomplete control documentation. Your risk assumptions need to be as complete as possible. And that's very difficult to do in an implementation where people's sole focus isn't really implementing a GRC package. They're doing their jobs day to day. And it's hard to bring in knowledgeable expertise like you and me to help them along with it, right? to understand what the pitfalls are and who you really need to talk to get down to the nitty gritty. So, my advice is try to make, use the product as it's intended to be used, because that's how you're going to get the most out of it. And take your time during the implementation by actually getting all, and I wouldn't say all because you never get all, but getting a fair amount of accurate underlying data to produce the information that's going to be your output to prevent the garbage in, garbage out syndrome.
Interesting. And I couldn't agree more. If we do say so ourselves, that they would want to try to bring in 2FIF and Privacy Labs, together, because again, I wouldn't presume to have your skill set. And of course, we spend a lot of time on our side in Privacy Labs in being able to, to map, do data mapping, and to do data lineage and to run searches and review the laws and see how those are help to capture the data and to classify it ways so it can be properly monitored and governed and made compliant and properly risk controlled.
I will say is once you have good data, then the possibilities are endless, right? So when we start to think about AI and the modeling and things like that, that's when you start to reap the benefits of the implementation, right? You start to get your predictive analysis. You start to make better decisions because of the tools that you have that are available to you. For instance, when you start to catalog a lot of your risk, security, and change documentation in an IT scenario, you'll start to get trends and be able to, have predictive patterns that help you make decisions. Maybe you shouldn't make so many changes in October. Maybe you should put certain things out in your project schedule to November or February when things die down, because you have the historical trending and kind of more predictive indicators that say, hey, you know what, this is a heavy time. This is, end of close, things like that.
Right. That sounds, I don't think I could have put it any better way than that. And interesting, because I think that, again, it kind of brings me back to the way I see this is, of course, you have to have training and awareness, and you have to have a management that is investing in the culture of compliance and risk and governance. But it is ultimately about data, generally speaking. That is really where this really, you spend the most amount of time. And so again, I think when you bring in the right team to guide the GRC process from the standpoint of what it needs to do, with the input that you have the right professionals who can see horizontally, to your point earlier, how you want the G, the R, and the C talking to each other and being holistic and not being tentacles that are kind of off left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Right. So, and then things like audit, people sometimes get a little bit, not scared, but they hear the word automation and they think, ooh, you know, which we've brought up before, and I won't go into that right now, but there's very straightforward ways of tightening up things and bringing them together in automation, including artificial intelligence. So I just want to keep that in there because that's what we do spend a fair amount of time on, and that is a very attainable way of speeding processes up, reducing human error, and so forth. I think, you know, this was going to be a faster, sort of shorter kind of an approach because we are doing such a high level piece here. Now we've talked about privacy. I guess privacy, compliance, security. Would it be fair to say, since Privacy Labs has that word in it, privacy, just for our audience, privacy and security, I imagine, run across GRC, or would you say that it's more under one of the G or R of C, or am I overthinking this?
No. Again, so, you know, when I talked earlier about understanding who are in the respective roles of risk and compliance, privacy is and has been generally a compliance function because the notification portion coupled with the statutory portion of the law, which drives what you can and can't do and what's PPI versus not PPI. That's generally led things to be a compliance function. But you do, some organizations I've been involved in has had the privacy function placed in risk. I don't know if either is better than the other, but the function and the role is generally the same. So I think when you introduce risk, part of the conversation has to be privacy risk. It always has been. So if you're capturing all your risks, it could be a privacy risk, but privacy doesn't necessarily always spill over into security, right? So there are instances where you've had privacy issues, but it generally wasn't an information or maybe you could classify as an information security problem, but it wasn't due to the technology, right?
I see.
So you've had privacy situations that didn't evolve from a technology issue. So, but, you know, I think just to get back to the point, privacy definitely has a role in GRC, right?
I see. Yeah. And I guess it depends on how you define it and who owns it and so forth. Because, and it can be more than data. It can be, you know, bad processes and other similar issues. So I guess I guess the bottom line is really hard to say when all you're talking about is a word, exactly where it should fit and why you shouldn't, you know, define it as something else. I think that's maybe getting a little bit carried away with it. But nonetheless, the question does get brought to most people's minds is where does privacy fit in with all this? So
well, yeah. So you know, just off 5 minute conversation, you can see why it gets tricky, right? So
and yes.
Sometimes a land grab internally, organizations, right? Is it risk? Is it compliance? Is it security? So, you know, it could be all three, right? I've seen it unfold as all three.
Sure.
So it's, you know, again, you just really need to define who's doing what, or, you know, hey, maybe it's just not only the privacy group who is managing some of these issues. You know, you have the security team also managing some of the incident and response portions. You have legal actually reviewing who you need to notify and when and how much notification you need. Mm-hmm. So privacy isn't always, you know, in one vertical because of the breadth of the rules.
Right. Got it. Yeah, and I suppose we could go on. We could probably have a dozen podcasts that are an hour each on this topic, right? But just for the sake of the comfort of the listeners, would you say that it's possible to have a manageable, easily digestible path to GRC compliance or GRC success?
An easy path? I would say no.
Okay. Let's manageable. Put it this way.
You can make it manageable, yes.
Okay.
With the right help, the right background, people like yourself and me who've stepped in all the potholes that come along the way of implementation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You just have to know how fast you want to go.
That's what I was looking for. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. Because I think that's kind of what we like to think. And I think it's a very attainable thing. Because again, we have sort of walked that walk before or crawled that crawl, as we said earlier. I think, let's see, I think I had one other. this was not as scripted of a podcast as we've had in the past. And that I wanted it to be that way because it's such a broad topic. I think as far as tools to help implement, I know, for example, OneTrust, a tool, a platform I'm a big fan of. I also know of a platform called Central. It's called OnCentral, OnCentrl, no A. They're very good with generally, but they're good with cybersecurity and some other verticals. Do you have any, do those tools, just like the OneTrust or those type of tools, or are there tools that you say when you say package that you think of? What do you mean when you say package? Because I know you have packages that you offer. Help us understand what package means and how that may or may not overlap with some of these other solutions like OneTrust and Central.
Well, I've had the opportunity to review what OneTrust does, and it seems like a very capable package. In the banks that I've worked, we've used GRC, Thomson Reuters GRC, and BWise. I'm not sure if those are the same names anymore. There was another one that skips my mind, but those were the, you know, back in my day. I'm kind of dating myself, you know, a guy with 28 years experience, 30 years experience, something like that. Back in 2004, there were only three products. Now the market is flooded. So with managed service and all these other tools and technologies that people are employing, I'm sure the options are endless. I think what you really need to do is go out and pick a product that has the tenets that you're that you're interested in, whether it be security incident management, vendor management, operational risk, audit, compliance, et cetera. You probably just need to choose. Technology is moving so fast. Mm-hmm. The overall goal is going to be the same. You know, going through the implementation at least maybe 3.5 times, I don't think, you know, I'm just a skeptic. It won't be easy. It will be a long road that I would encourage people not to give up on. I've started GRC implementations and stopped and went to another product only to go through the same headaches again of defining process and risk and all that stuff all over again. So I think if you choose a package, you have to just look at it as a tool, but the tool isn't going to solve your problem, right? There's a lot of work that needs to be done. You need to have a strong grasp on your processes, strong grasp on your controls, strong grasp on risk, and also know your leadership, who's on board, who's not, and getting those that aren't on board, because that will make it much more helpful and easier to those in the mix of the action. Not to mention your end result is going to be that much better, much more better. You know, I'm a strong believer in the products. I think you can get a lot out of them. Mm-hmm. You just have to have a management team who are fully vested in moving something like this, which is a very heavy lift, forward.
Yes, and I think the laws are starting to make that more to motivate people to think that way because of they're becoming more onerous. I did want to end on a positive note, though, and I think you would probably agree that in my podcast with Jody, she brought up at the end of the podcast that this is really it's a very commercially enabling effort because it's becoming the new normal that companies start to brag about the fact that they are privacy compliant, that they are secure, that they are careful with their processes, that they, you know, are a trustworthy organization. So it becomes an enabling thing. It lets people know that you are, you know, you think about their data and their information and your interactions with them. And I would venture to guess you would agree to that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it could be a strong selling point. I just caution, you know, so I have a couple of companies that I consult for, and I caution promoting something like that only because sometimes that throws you into the fray of being a target, right? Oh, I have the best security and the best
compliance,
and I'm the best privacy, and we protect your data this way and that way, only to be caught up in something, you know, only to put yourself in the target situation, which you probably wouldn't have been if you hadn't been, you know, posting it all over social media that you're so great and grand. Hackers are pretty tricky that way.
Interesting. Okay. I had not heard that before. It makes sense, but that's great advice. That's why you're on here. But maybe to put it out there with a little bit more in a soft way and not so in your face, right, neon lights. You maybe want to have a little lamp in the corner with a
exactly. Little, we care about your information. That's about
right. Hey, we'll charge people for that you can copyright that phrase. Fair enough.
I'll write that down.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's what these are all about. Well, listen, Jamon, I think that really kind of gives us a great use of this time here. And thank you so much. You're always such a pleasure to interview. And it's so nice to have your background and experience as a part of this. And I thank you again. And we'll have more. We would be
anytime. This is a pleasure. I love it.
All right, sir. Well, listen, you have a great week. And our listeners, just real briefly, Privacy Labs, as we've been talking about, we unify efforts using the tools that we just discussed, like OneTrust and Central and whatever else may be out there that might be appropriate for you. We also work with automation, artificial intelligence. We are particularly adept at using cybersecurity and so forth because of how important that is to most of these laws. And then finally, audit. And again, Jamon and I have gone down that path together. So in any event, thank you all. And I look forward to our next podcast. Thank you.
Thanks again, Paul.